Welcome back to another episode of Modern Multifamily. I'm your host, Mike Wolber, and this is episode 26. I had so much fun having Andrew Hudson on the podcast. He is the epitome of a leasing expert with a ton of personality. He caught my eye a few weeks ago on LinkedIn when he was talking about a video he was creating for his residents as he prepared to say farewell and transition to the corporate level to lead leasing for one of the biggest portfolios in the industry. We covered tactical and strategic tips and tricks that I hope you can find action in this coming leasing season. This was a great conversation and I hope you enjoy. Let's get into it. Well, Andrew, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast today. And to jump in, first and foremost, would love just to hear a little bit about who you are and how you got into the role that you're in today with American Landmark.
Yeah, I will. I don't know. I keep going back to that just Andrew. So I'm just Andrew. No, but I'm a Miami, Florida native. That's where I grew up. All of my family's still there. But I got into the industry at a very young age. I was 19 going on 20 and I was a leasing professional. And so I've been a leasing professional. I've been an assistant manager for a little bit, training manager. And now I am here with American Landmark, and it's been an amazing journey. American Landmark reached out to me back in October. So this has been a journey from October until now we're in February, but they made it happen. We made it happen. And I just needed a little bit more confirmation that this was the right move to make. And the confirmation continues to come. Like, this was one of the best decisions I've ever made. So, yeah.
And that's amazing. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you kind of caught my eye maybe 6 weeks ago on LinkedIn. You did a post about how you had this idea, this hypothesis of doing a really, proper farewell to your residents using Relink. And you were asking LinkedIn for LinkedIn's take on if you should do it, what we thought the reaction would be. I, of course, weighed in because I love social and it sounds like the reaction was amazing, but I'd love to hear from you. How did that go? What was it like to leave a community that you really helped build from the ground up?
Yeah, that was amazing. All the times, and I like to preface it by saying, every time I have an idea, it's just something like I'm sitting on the couch, the idea comes, and then I'm like, "Hey, I'll just post this." And then it turns out being this huge, massive response. I had no idea it would get the response, the type of response that it did. But anyway, I was like, I record video tours. I've recorded, different things for podcasts. I was like, why not record a video? It's my take that a lot of people don't read emails. And even if they read the email, sometimes they can't connect that emotion or they misinterpret the emotion behind the email. So I was like, let's do this video. I'm a video type of guy. Let's send it out. This was my second time like attempting to leave the community. Like I said, I was going to leave before, but then it got canceled. So they had already been through that, like, Andrew's leaving. Oh no. And then never mind, he's going to stay. And so I'm like, I can't just say bye again. So I need to make it special. And so I recorded this video. It took me some time. It was very emotional. Everyone kept coming by the office. And it's so funny. So Relink, I love Relink. Everyone knows that. A lot of people thought that I was leaving the company to go work for Relink as much as I talk about them. But anyway, I was using Relink. And so Relink has this functionality where it will ping you every time someone watches your video. And so I record the video the night before. I send it to my manager for approval. And I'm just telling everyone, how great of a time we've had. And if you go to my LinkedIn, you can see it at the end. I include some videos from the past. And as soon as I sent it out, everyone in the office, their notifications were on and they didn't know I sent it out, but all they kept hearing was bing, 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 bing. So the residents immediately started watching the video. And immediately we used anyone at the time, they used Knock for their CRM and they were doing the text. They were sending a text basically. So after that, all the texts started flooding in and they were just saying bye. People were sending emojis like bye. Oh my God. People were stopping by the office upset. It was just a fun time. Yeah.
That's cool, man. Well, I'm curious, like, this conversation to me is really exciting because you've spanned anything from the very front lines on site and you've made it now all the way to the corporate office to really multiply talent across one of the biggest organizations in our industry to teach other people how to fish, right? And yeah. that's really like the goal for me right now on this series I'm doing on the podcast, is talking to the best people out there on what it looks like to be great, how we can help really codify and multiply the industry to get great as leasing pros.
Yeah.
And I'd love just to start with some like stream of conscious from you on what are some of the things that you've learned along the way in your career? And I'll interrupt you along the way. We can have like a good conversation of just tips, tricks, and ways to do it to it better so they can become a rising star like you in the industry.
Yeah, I think, and I may sound like if you followed me, you know that this may be repetitive to you, but I'll say this over and over again. I think the best thing that you can do, number one, as a leasing professional, is be yourself. Be yourself. I oftentimes say, especially when someone asks me advice or they want me to teach a class, I'm like, look, I'm gonna give you the groundwork, but in order for this to work, you are going to have to put your funk on it, is what I like to call it. You're going to have to put your own twist on it. So the way I do things is I make people laugh. Like, I'm a jokester. So I'm going to make you laugh and I'm going to, you know, talk about a lot of things. And that's how I'm going to get that lease. That may not be how the next person, you know, I just came into the community. I met someone that works at the community I live at, and his name is Lee. He's one of our leasing professionals. And Lee is so cool, laid back. Like, me and Lee are total opposites. Like, I'm in your face, I wanna get you laughing. Lee is just like, hey, what's going on, Andrew? How are you? You know, and some people, you know, if you're traditional, you may think he could never lease that way, you know, but Lee is one of our top leasing professionals. And so it's just, you know, I think the first thing is being true to who you are, finding out what those keys are, what those tools are, but putting your own spin on it, putting your own twist on it is the only way that it's going to work for you. And that's how you're going to be successful, because we say it all the time. Product is everywhere. Brand new product, subpar product, you know, product that's not so great. It's everywhere. You can go anywhere and get a stainless steel refrigerator, quartz countertops. But what they are not going to find is you. And it sounds corny and cliche, but it's so true. Everyone will tell you at the property that I just left, I leased because of Andrew. I had people, and they were joking, but not so much. But they were like, we're leaving now, or, you know, we're going to, it's the joke, but it showed how much they were committed, not just to the community, but to the relationship that they had built with our team there. Yeah.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think we can all think to a time where we've made a buying decision of small scale or a big scale, and product is everywhere in every industry, tech in our industry, real estate, and experience is oftentimes one of the biggest things that you remember, you keep coming back to. And if you can see yourself working with that person post sale, what a compelling reason to say yes to whatever that thing might be. That seems simple, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah. And it's the people part. Like, as we dive into all of the technology, which is great, you know, it's allowing us to connect in different ways. You can't forget to include that people part, that people still want to feel. They want the emotions. They want to see, touch, all those senses is still very important.
In terms of like your superpowers up here, like the things you know to stand out, like if you can really own yourself in the leasing experience, what are some of the things that you encourage your teams to become experts on quickly? Like, is it the product? Is it the competitors? Is it the differentiating factors compared to what's around? Is it using technology? Like, what are some of the things you really encourage people to get smart on quick as a competitive advantage?
Yeah, Mike, when you were just talking, I don't know if it's because I drove through Louisiana, but I thought of a gumbo, right? And so a gumbo, you have to put a gumbo doesn't have like a specific recipe, right? There's just a bunch of things you can put in there, soup, sausage, corn. A lot of people put different things in their gumbo, but it's all necessary to make that gumbo and to make it taste, you know, well or whatever. And so everything that you just said, I think is important for us to make sure that we're sharpening our skills. Everything in that pot is important. So number one, your product, you know, knowing, and I like to teach people to go deep. Like, I want you saying things that your competition is not saying, right? Go shop that competition. And I want you to know, you know, how large your refrigerator is, because your competition is not going to know. I want you to know how many dishes you can fit in your dishwasher. I want you to know how many hangers and pairs of shoes, you know, you can, I want say things. So when they go to the competition and say, well, how big is that refrigerator? either they're not going to know or they're going to have to look it up, and it's going to make you seem like even more, you know, or say things that people automatically know, but no one's saying, like all ceiling fans these days are dual setting, right? Well, people are not saying it, and then they're not going to know. So say these things. So my thing is product. Yes, know your product inside and out. Know what type of countertops you have. Know your product, right? Know your price. Know where you're marketed. But I also think the important part is just understanding that all people are not the same, right? And so personalities, anytime I'm training, I do like the personality test. It's important to understand who you are as a person, but also to understand who that prospect is as a person that's coming in. So everyone can't take, you know, Drew's the way I, you know, extra, and, you know, so sometimes I'll lead with that. But if someone's like us, you know, they have the square mentality is what I call it, because, you know, the circle, square, squiggly line, triangle. So if they have that square mentality, they are just all about the facts, right? They don't care about the fluffs and the flowers that I'm giving them. And so it doesn't mean that I don't give them some of that, but I kind of zone back and focus in the area that they are leaning more towards. This is a square. They're going to be more concerned about their price. What can this product do for me? Not so much the swimming pool and that it's heated. And so, you know, mentioning those things is good. You know, you want to have a consistent tour, but make sure you put a little bit more weight on the area that your prospect is more interested in. I think that's very helpful. But again, everything that you just mentioned is super important. There's not one area. We should try every day to grow every area of our leasing lives with that product, price, promotion. All of that is super important in this experience. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you like nailed the podcast in like 3 minutes there. And when you talked about like the secret sauce, though, like doing the things that your competitors aren't doing, mm-hmm. that's the best advice ever. And I can relate to that with my deep personal belief that product knowledge is so important in mm-hmm. my world of being able to understand when is this like a landmine that you should just blow up in a sale. Yeah. And when is there an obstacle you just need, you know, you need to avoid it, like get around it because mm-hmm. you don't have a good head-to-head answer. But exactly. I'm curious, like, are you literally creating like spec sheets for your team to make sure they know how many dishes you can fit a dishwasher? Is that just part of the like, time?
No, there is a I recommend a product knowledge, and I don't want to give away too many of my secrets. No, I'm joking. But yeah, a product knowledge notebook, something that you can write these things down in. But you'll become a pro in no time, because once you start saying the same thing, you make it a part of your tour. Your mind and your brain just automatically goes there. It's the same thing like with when you're studying to a secret shop or something like that. My recommendation is make sure you're saying the same things in the same place, right? We're bringing flavor into it. So it's not the same stories. We're not making up stories. But there are certain areas when I see this hallway and we're going down this hallway, I'm going to talk about our valet trash. When I come in here, you know, in the living room, I'm going to talk about that. Now, the conversation may go different places, but when I get to these certain areas, I know to not forget certain things that I know is important to talk about. And so, yes, a product knowledge notebook, having that written down in the beginning. Another thing is overcoming objections. One of the activities I like to do with my teams is, you know what your objections are. You know that bathroom is too small. I know, you know, you may not want to say it, but it's a little small, right? It's smaller than what most people would want. And so sit with your team and talk about the objections you've been hearing. Talk about the objections that you yourself can be honest and say, look, this is where we may not be the best in this area, but how are we going to overcome those objections? I think it's when we try to pretend like they're not there, that's when we get caught up and people ask us and we don't have an answer for them. But if you kind of prepare yourself, get with your team, write them down, you'll be ready, yeah, to overcome those objections.
Cool. I'd love to talk with you about just technology, probably mm-hmm. could use a couple hours here, and we'll be mindful of time, but tech is a big one. And I think a lot of the technology suppliers in our space are really trying to make the on-site team's job and life better. And you've talked Relink, you've talked CRM. What are some of the table stakes out there, the technologies that you've seen be tried and true, super important, but also impactful when it comes to results, to really make the life of a leasing pro, you know, better, smoother, but also more fun?
Yeah, I have. I just turned 30 last year. So I'm up there now. You know, I've crossed the threshold. And I think I'm on the threshold of like being a tech guy. And so when I got back on site and had to use like the device to record a video, it took me a little minute. It took more than I thought. But I really got the hang of it. And so I think anything that allows you to have that interaction or record or voiceover, you know, video is going to be super important. Even if things are getting better, you know, where people are going back out, I think there are a lot of people I've seen in the last couple of months that have been right in the city, but still want a video, video tour, live tour, or a video of the community. So I think video touring is not going away. I don't think it's going away at all. Storytelling through video is not going away. And being able as a leasing professional to have those videos in a catalog is super important, right? If I get a work order, hey, you know, my GFI stopped working. Here's a video on how to reset that right away. And if it doesn't work, we until our maintenance or service team get there, 9 times out of 10, they're going to text you back before they can even get to the work order and say, never mind, we've already fixed it. Thank you for the video. So again, video is not going away. That helps the leasing professionals, and also a platform, a CRM that can show leasing professionals, whether it's their KPIs or any reporting in their face. I've seen a lot of CRMs and different things like that. And I just think the best for me working is anything that can show them, hey, this is how you're doing right now. It kind of drives that competition, right? I can say, hey, by the end of the day, this is where you need to be. And those associates are able to watch it, right? Throughout the day, I need to get to this point. I need to get to this point. And it kind of drives some friendly competition. So that's been helpful. Those things that I've seen on site, for the things that I've seen on site, that have been helpful, it's been those two things mostly. Yeah. And again, I still believe in the tradition and traditional ways in-person touring, but as we move towards technology and more people demanding it and requesting it. And I think, Mike, the important thing to realize is your time frame of being able to capture attention and the lease is starting to shrink. You don't have a lot of time. People are starting to make decisions more quickly. You know, it's always been microwave. It's always been drive-through line. I need it now, right? I need it right now. And so that window is closing. So anything that can help us through our day-to-day tasks, I think that would be great.
Cool. I'm curious, yeah. Like on the realm of technology, when it comes to like teaching an on-site team or a leader, like a community manager, how to be a superhero when it comes to that tech. In your experience, have you leaned on your vendor partners to kind of be that training expert, or have you seen that as your role to make sure that your teams are clear on how to use it and really getting the best bang for the buck out of the technology investments that you have?
Me personally, I love, and I call them vendors, but now we're calling them suppliers, right? I love my suppliers. Like I have a lot of relationship with a lot of people, and you know, and that's why people think that I work for them, because anytime I believe in a product or believe in it and I've seen it work, then I become a true brand ambassador for that product, especially the company I work for. But I believe in partnering with our suppliers or vendors to deliver that training to our teams. And the reason why I say partner is because you want to bring an aspect of familiarity. So someone they're familiar with, right? And so I'm on there introducing, or you have said person introducing the training. They're like, okay, this is a safe place for me. If they trust the product, I'll trust the product. And then you will lean on that product expert, which is the vendor. They will come on and start to teach. And I like to take the training first. And so like the corporate team or whatever would take the training first, maybe make some suggestions. Not all companies are the same or do things the same. So I think it's very important for your corporate team or whoever's making that decision to take the training as they were as they were your team first, and then release that to your team. And so, yeah, but I think partnering with your teammates or with your vendors and suppliers and releasing that training, something not too drawn out, not too long. And, you know, that would be great. That's the greatest way to go about it. Sorry.
I think that's awesome advice. I'm curious if you think back to your experience with being on site or being in like a people responsibility type role, frontline leadership, or maybe being an influencer when it comes to hiring. What are some of the attributes that you've seen stand out when it comes to folks that want to come in, and also folks that you've seen come in and just kill it? Like, what are some of the attributes that stand out in your mind being so experienced?
Listen, Mike, I think anyone that's listening to this will agree with me. It is hard. Like that, I don't think, I've interviewed a lot, you know, different people, phone interviews, and it's just, it's hard to do that over the phone. So first of all, phone interviews, I would, you know, sometimes judge it by the length of the call and things like that. But I think for the people that are superstars or those that outshine, those are the people that come in and understand that it's not just about a job description, right? And that understand that their duties are beyond what is on the paper, or not that their duties are beyond it, but they want to do more and they want to see the property succeed. Anytime I hear someone in an interview, and you can call it, if we were talking in leasing term, assumptive close, right? So anytime someone in an interview is like, oh, my property, or yeah, my this, or, you know, my desk or this and that, I'm like, they're already taking ownership of this property, right? And everybody, you can ask anybody on the community and they'll say, this is my community. And so hearing that in the interview, beyond what is on that paper, that already tells me a lot about the person. And when you're able to just have that conversation and just hear that experience, I think that's important. That's how you know they are going to rock it. There may be some surprises. You may think, you know, because some people are good interviewers. If we're being real, like, you may have some surprises where people surprise you. But I think 9 times out of 10, those that show up prepared, those that show up understanding that, look, I'm not going to be in a box in this role. Like, this role is not just contained to leasing consultant. You know, you have some people are like, well, what am I? You know, what is my title? You know, director? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, we don't care about the title. I just want to show up and perform. I think those are going to be your rock stars and your superstars. Yeah,
I love it. One of the things that I'm always interested in is the path from on-site to corporate. And I'm good friends with tons of people in the industry that are shining stars at the executive level. You're working with some of the best in the world at American mm-hmm. Landmark, in my opinion. Yeah. And most of them have something in common, which is that they started on site. And for a lot of the people listening to this, you're going to be talking to leasing agents and community managers, regional managers out there. Curious what kind of advice you have for those folks who want to get to your chair or get to that corporate office, and they want to stand out and they want to be a rising star in the industry. What are some of the things you'd recommend they think about, take action on to fast path their career?
Yeah, I think number one, realize that you are exactly where you need to be right now, that the role you are in is making you. To have patience, right? Let the role make you, let become who you're going to become in that role. And then set short-term goals that you begin to accomplish. And so I was a leaser, and I was like, I would look at myself in the mirror at some point and say, by this time next year, you're going to be an assistant. Then I was an assistant. I was like, by this time, had no idea. I remember when I first started in 2012, I was in Orlando at the Apartment Association, Lisa Palooza, and I saw they flew these trainers in to teach us. You know, I was 19, and I remember looking at them and saying, I want to do that one day. That I want to be that influencer. I have it. Like, I thought at 19 I had it. Didn't know I needed way more, you know, time. But I believe I was 26 when I first started training. I got my first started training, and I just got a call. And what I had done was, number one, be patient. You know, from 19 to 26, I was on site. I learned a lot of things on the service technician side, on the office side. And then I started developing myself personally. So you have to turn the spotlight on yourself. As you're given this service, develop your own self. I created a LinkedIn, right? I had never done this before. I started connecting to people. Watch this. And I always give this advice: connect yourself to people that are where you want to go, right? And beyond. And so I started connecting with trainers and leasing professional assistant managers from different companies. And then that's how the corporate people start seeing my post and started seeing, you know, the development, and was like, hey, we need you to spread this around. And so again, be patient, where you are is right where you need to be. It's going to make you into that great person. You're going to get a lot of stories that you'll be able to tell. I don't have to think about stories. This is stuff I actually went through, right? And so stay right where you are. And then the second thing is turn that spotlight back on yourself, develop yourself in this time, and then watch it work for you. It's going to work.
Mic drop after mic drop. I tell you. Hey, I'm curious. Did we hit it all? Was that felt like it was pretty comprehensive on
that was good.
The world of leasing, but are there any kind of outstanding topics you'd want to make sure we hit on before we wrap up? I want it to be a good representation of your thought leadership in the space.
Yeah, no, I think we did hit a lot, especially on leasing and being, I think those are the things, again, I get asked all the time. And so these are the things that I spew out because I've seen it work and it hasn't stopped working. And again, I've lived a life, I've been in these shoes. And so consistency is the key. And then patience, you get a lot of people that come into the industry. And as I go out and teach, and they're like, I want to do what you do, right? And I'm like, well, how long have you been leasing? I just started last month, but I want to do what you. And I'm like, okay, patience. So I think we hit on a lot of things, and just knowing your team, I think that's huge in this industry, knowing what type of team you have, just like with children, you know, everyone is different. You can't treat everyone the same. And that's how we're going to progress and move forward. But I think we did good, Mike, right?
Yeah, I'll take it. Well, hey, I'm curious, before we close, any questions for me? I'm on the tech side of the industry, huge fan of real estate, where it's going, the people that make it what it is. But first time we've ever spoken, and I'm curious, any questions for me?
So what do you see because we're always on the like other side, and we're like, hey guys, this is what we need. This is what we need to make us, you know, operate better. We need this access to this reporting. We need that. What do you guys say on the supplier side or the vendor side that you like? Because I never hear like, well, this is what we need from you. Or if life would be easier if on-site teams did this. Like, is there an answer for that question?
It's a good question. And it's funny because it's, as you're making this like really cool transition, one of the things that's challenging, it's also like the fun part of the job for me, is that no matter what type of vendor you are on the tech side, you're usually serving multiple customers within an organization. So like if you use American Landmark as an example, one of our best customers, we work really closely with your corporate team to make sure that they're getting the reporting and the results and the revenue that they want to see from our partnership. But then when we work with your hundreds of communities around the US, they're wanting to make sure that they're getting the right level of usability of the products, but also very low level of operational burden, making sure that it's easy, lightweight to use. And that's where you kind of get into this conflicting experience, because sometimes a corporate team wants something that's going to mean more work for the on-site team. And then it's our job to try to do both while keeping both happy.
Okay.
And I think that one of the big things that's helpful is when you have executive corporate teams that are just lockstep with their on-site teams. And I think when you get good engagement, and ALA is a great example, your team spends a lot of time on-site with the communities, which means that when we're getting requests from the corporate team, we know it's an extension of on-site and we're solving two challenges at once. And so I think alignment is super important. And the more time we spend with our customers, whether those are internal or external customers, I think the faster we can go as a partner. And when you get really good alignment, it just helps us do our job better and it keeps you happier, which then win-win.
Exactly. Win-win. That's all I have. That was great. That was a great answer.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Well,
thank you.
I can only imagine that people are going to have questions for you. So whether it's like LinkedIn or email, what's your preference for people being able to reach out to Andrew, pick your brain, get in touch?
Yeah, you'll see me tagged on this on LinkedIn. So if you want to follow me on LinkedIn and inbox me there, or my email is also there. My phone number is there also. So yeah, any way you want to get in contact with me, that would be great.